Upland Bible Church, Pastor Richard J. Olson, 920 Upland Boulevard, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89107, Sunday class, first class, June 29th, 2025, Romans.
All right, we have a few announcements before we get started. First of all, happy birthday to Dodie back here on Friday. It was her birthday. Only 29 years old. She's doing great. Happy birthday, Dode. And we have a vacation Bible school debriefing. Get you under the lamp. Meeting, it's going to be after the second class today. So everyone involved with Vacation Bible School, please attend this debriefing after the second class. And I'm not sure that you all can read. This was posted on the doors as you came in. We have a change of schedule. Tuesday and Wednesday, Bible class will be normal, 7 p.m. No class on Thursday. You're welcome to come. Try to get in the doors, but there'll be no class on Thursday. Friday is 4 July. At 11 a.m., not p.m., at 11 a.m., we're going to have communion service. Following the communion service, a great movie. A great movie. True story. And you will absolutely, appreciate something that finally was done right. So Friday, communion at 11 a.m., and then a movie following. All right. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the teaching of God's Word. And therefore, open the Word of God to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. And there is so much in Romans chapter 8, we may be in it Christmas time. Romans chapter 8, in preparation to worship our Lord, a few moments of silent prayer, shall we? Father, we thank you, sir, for your infinite and your matchless grace. And we thank you, Heavenly Father, for one more day of freedom that you've given to us in Client Nation USA. The freedom to assemble in a Bible teaching church such as this one, and the freedom to worship you through the study of your word. And as we do so, we ask that our teacher, God the Holy Spirit, will set apart the absolute truth of Scripture to the nourishment and to the benefit of each one of our souls. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Romans chapter 8, let's start the corrected translation at verse 16. The Spirit Himself, that's God the Holy Spirit, testifies along with our spirit, our human spirit, that we are the children of God. And if we are children, first class condition, and we are children of God, we are also heirs. On the one hand, we are heirs of God the Father, but on the other hand, we are joint heirs with Christ. Then the conclusion of verse 17, if indeed we suffer with maturity status as a spiritually mature believer, in other words, undeserved suffering for blessing, for the purpose that we might also be glorified with Christ. That last half of verse 17. That last half of verse 17 introduces the undeserved suffering glory motif. That's one of my favorite wordle words right there. Motif. Undeserved suffering, glory, motif. There is a direct relationship between undeserved suffering for blessing for the winner believer in time and greater grace blessings for the winner believer in eternity. This leads the Apostle Paul to the now, then. This leads the Apostle Paul to the now, then correlation, which those two themes suggest: undeserved suffering for blessing for the winner believer, the spiritually mature believer, is the present experience, while glory is the future one in eternity. Suffering for blessing in time means reward and blessing in eternity. Undeserved suffering along with greater grace blessing in time is the basis for our greater grace blessing in eternity. The spiritually mature believer will receive the fantastic mantle of undeserved suffering in time, which then is parlayed into reward and blessing for all eternity. And that will be given at the judgment seat of Christ following the rapture, the resurrection of the royal family of God. So now we in Romans 8:18, the undeserved suffering of the winner believer in time to the glory which will be revealed to us in eternity is now presented. And he starts out the Apostle Paul. I want you to see the Apostle Paul was a cowboy. For I reckon, y'all, Paul was a cowboy. He was definitely a Dallas Cowboy fan. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time, we have the post-positive conjunction gar, plus the present middle indicative of logizomai, plus the conjunction hati with the nominative plural of pathema, with the definite article, plus the genitive singular of kairos, with the definite article, along with the adverb noun. Now, there is a Greek book that I have written by Dana and Manti. It's called A Manual Grammar of the Greek New Testament, and on page 243, when you go home, look this up in your library. On page 243, it tells us that in our verse, the post-positive conjunction gar is the illative use of gar, illative use. And the illative use of gar introduces a reason and therefore is correctly translated for. And then we have the verb logizomai. Looks like that in the Greek, L-O-G-I-Z-O-M-A-I, logizomai. Now, a couple of things on this. First of all, logizomai means to calculate. To calculate or to take into account. Then, as a result of the calculation, logizomai means to evaluate, to estimate, to consider. Then, logizomai comes to mean to think about, to let one's mind dwell on, to believe, to be of the opinion, or to conclude. And the best way to translate it here is to conclude. And that's how we'll translate it. And then we have hati. Hati oftentimes is a causal conjunction, but never after verbs of dicendi. And logizomai is a verb of dicendi, and therefore it introduces an object clause. And so hati is correctly translated that. And then we have pathema. P-A-T-H, long E-M-A, pathema. Now, pathema means misfortune or suffering. In our verse, it refers to undeserved suffering for blessing given to the winner believer, the spiritually mature believer, not to the baby believer, not to the reversionistic believer, to the winner believer, to the spiritually mature believer. There's obviously in life, if you're making bad decisions in your life, if you're living out of fellowship with God, if you're living by the lust patterns of the sin nature, if you're living in Satan's cosmic system, you'll have suffering too. But it's punitive suffering. But here we have suffering given to the winner believer. Winner believers only. It's only those few believers who make good decisions to live the spiritual life by the spiritual skills, to fulfill the mandates of the spiritual life. Keep on being filled, empowered by the Spirit. Keep on walking by the Spirit. Grow up in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And when you make good decisions to fulfill those mandates and advance to maturity, you are now qualified. Not only you have this fantastic greater grace blessing package, fantastic package, but one of the most unique categories in that greater grace blessing package is undeserved suffering for blessing. You are qualified to wear this mantle. And that means you're the best of the best. And that means you're going to have the most amazing crowns and rewards given to you at the judgment seat of Christ that will glorify God for all eternity. So in our verse, pathema is undeserved suffering for blessing of the spiritually mature believer. And then we have the adverb noon. That's N-U-N. I know some of you are saying, no, that's not noon. That's none. Noon is N-O-O-N. See, I know that. Okay. These are things that pastors get a kick out of, but you don't, evidently, so I... Noon is an adverb of time. However, Arndt and Gingrich, the Greek lexicon, page 548, tells us that when noon is used with an article, as it is in our verse, then the adverb becomes an adjective. An adjective modifying the noun. And the noun is the word kairos. And therefore, it is correctly translated the present kairos. Oh, what is kairos? Thank you for asking. K-A-I-R-O-S, kairos. Kairos can mean a point of time or a period of time. And in our verse, it means the period of time that you live on planet Earth as a winner believer. From that point in time when you reach spiritual maturity till physical death or the rapture, whichever occurs first, that's the kairos. That's the present kairos, the present period of time. So, corrected translation. For I conclude that the sufferings of this present period of time, that is, the period that you live on this earth as a spiritually mature believer. I want you to make sure you got this. For I conclude that the sufferings of this present period of time, that is, the period you live on this earth as a spiritually mature believer, then we have in the King James, are not worthy to be compared with the glory which will be revealed in us. This is the objective negative, ouk, plus the adjective, oxia, plus the prepositional phrase pros, plus the accusative singular of doxa with the definite article, plus the present active participle of mello, plus the aorist passive infinitive of apokalupto, and then the prepositional phrase eis, plus the accusative plural of the personal pronoun ego. So that first part of this, for I conclude that the sufferings of this present period of time, the period you live on this earth as a spiritually mature believer, ouk oxia. Ouk, well, it looks like that in the Greek and English. A-K-S-I-A. Ouk oxia. And ouk, the objective negative ouk, slams the door. Ouk, absolutely not. Absolutely not. Oxia. Oxia means worthy, comparable. Absolutely not. Absolutely are not comparable to. Absolutely are not worthy to be compared with. This is very powerful. Ouk oxia. Absolutely are not comparable to. Absolutely are not worthy to be compared with doxa. D-O-K-S-A. Doxa. And literally, doxa means brightness, splendor, radiance. Then doxa came to mean the glory and the majesty of God. The glory and the majesty of God, doxa. And then it is that state of being in the next life That state of being in the next life, eternity, is now described as participation in this radiance and glory. And then we have mellow. See, this is where they came up with that song, Call Me Mellow Yellow, you know. Okay. Maybe not. Mellow means to be on the point of, to be about to do something. To be on the point of, to be about to, and then we have to be about to apokaluptoed. We're on the verge of being apokaluptoed. A-P-O-K-A-L-U-P-T, long O. Apokalupto. A couple of things on apokalupto. First of all, generally, apokalupto means to reveal, to disclose, to bring to light. To reveal, to disclose, to bring to light. In the passive voice, which is what we have, it means to be revealed. Two, it is especially used of divine revelation. Divine revelation. Three, in the eschatological sense, which is how it's used in our verse, it refers to the glory which is about to be revealed in eternity. It refers to the glory which is about to be revealed in eternity. Four, it refers specifically to the eternal rewards and blessings given to every spiritually mature believer. Eternal rewards and blessings given to every spiritually mature believer. The last phrase, eis, plus the accusative of the personal pronoun ego, for us. For us, spiritually mature believers. So the corrected translation, verse 18, this is very powerful. For I conclude that the sufferings of this present period of time, the period that you live on this earth as a spiritually mature believer, absolutely are not comparable to, absolutely are not worthy to be compared with the glory which is about to be revealed for us. Those eternal rewards and blessings given to every winner believer. This is, I'll give it, you got to get this one right. For I conclude that the sufferings of this present period of time, the period that you live on this earth as a mature believer, spiritually mature believer, winner believer, absolutely are not comparable to, absolutely are not worthy to be compared with the glory which is about to be revealed for us. Those eternal rewards and blessings given to the winner believer, the spirit, every spiritually mature believer. Believer. Verse 18. All right, one. Let's pull this together. In one sense, this verse is the conclusion of the preceding paragraph, in which believers are assured of being heirs of God the Father and joint heirs with Jesus Christ in eternity. So in one sense, this verse, verse 18, is the conclusion of the preceding paragraph in which believers are assured of being heirs of God the Father and joint heirs with Jesus Christ in eternity. Two, Paul reminds us that sharing in the glory of Christ in the future requires sharing in his sufferings in this life. Paul reminds us that sharing in the glory of Christ in the future requires sharing in his sufferings in this life. Three, since the Lord Jesus Christ was impeccable, sinless perfection, the only category of suffering he could receive was undeserved suffering for blessing. Since the Lord Jesus Christ was impeccable and sinless perfection, the only category of suffering he could receive was undeserved suffering for blessing. Now, some of you are kind of worried because you're not impeccable in sinless perfection. Point four, we are not impeccable. But when we live the spiritual life, when we make those good decisions to live the spiritual life and grow up in the grace and knowledge of Christ and attain spiritual maturity, then we share in the undeserved sufferings of Christ. We are not impeccable. We're not sinless perfection, but when we make those good decisions to live the spiritual life, grow up in the grace and knowledge of Christ, attain spiritual maturity, then we share in the undeserved sufferings of Christ. It's a great, great blessing for the winner believer. You have the opportunity of glorifying God in times of suffering, as well as in times of prosperity. How great is that? You glorify God in your suffering as well as in times of prosperity. Five, Paul concluded that our present sufferings for blessing are far outweighed by the glory that will be revealed for us. Eternal rewards and blessings at the judgment seat of Christ and then for all eternity. So Paul concluded that our present suffering for blessing of the winner believer, are far outweighed by the glory that will be revealed for us. Those eternal rewards and blessings given to the winner believer at the judgment seat of Christ following the resurrection of the royal family of God. Sixth, this future glory is so great that present sufferings are insignificant by comparison. This future glory is so great that present sufferings are insignificant by comparison. Seven, also, the glory of eternal blessings is forever. forever. Whereas suffering and blessing in time is temporary and light in comparison. Also, the glory of eternal blessings is forever, whereas the suffering and blessing in time is temporary and light. And the Apostle Paul taught this in a very wonderful passage. Turn over to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Let's start at verse 16. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, start at verse 16. Therefore, we do not lose heart. But though our outer man is decaying, and I think all of you can say amen to that, the outer man is decaying. Outer man is decaying, yet our inner man in here is being renewed, renovated, day by day. That's the winner believer making good decisions for growing up in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. Attending, assembling in a sound doctrinal teaching church day by day, day by day, day by day. Here a little, there a little. Isaiah. And as you do that day by day, you grow up in the grace and knowledge of Christ. You attain spiritual maturity. You fulfill the ultimate objective of virtue, love brought to completion in your heart. You have personal love for God the Father, impersonal love for all mankind, occupation with Jesus Christ. Because you winner believer, the winner believer is being renewed, renovated day by day in here, in the heart. Verse 17. Now he describes this suffering for blessing, for momentary light affliction. That's the suffering for blessing of the winner believer. Momentary light affliction. For momentary light affliction is producing for us an eternal weight of glory far beyond all comparison. Far beyond all comparison. For momentary light affliction, suffering for blessing of the winner believer is producing for us an eternal weight of glory far beyond all comparison. Verse 18, while we look not at the things which are seen, what's going on right here while we're here on earth, but at the things which are not seen, God's fantastic plan for us for all eternity. We are heirs of God and joint heirs of Jesus Christ. But we look at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen, well, they're temporal. They're here today, but gone tomorrow. But the things which are not seen are eternal. All right. So point seven. Also, the glory of eternal blessings is forever, whereas the suffering and blessing in time is temporary and light. 2 Corinthians 4, 16-18. 8. Certainly, this truth helps winner believers. This helps us clear the hurdles. See, God loves track and field. And undeserved suffering for blessing is God providing you the opportunity to run the hurdles. What a blessing that is. I hope you all get to run the hurdles of undeserved suffering for blessing. And to clear those spiritual hurdles has to have precisely correct procedure. And that precisely correct procedure is God's problem-solving devices. And the winner believer has the precisely correct procedure. He has God's problem-solving devices out on the flat line of his soul. And so when God provides him with the privilege of running the hurdles of undeserved suffering for blessing, the winner believer clears those hurdles and glorifies God to the maximum in times of suffering as well as in times of prosperity or good health or whatever. So certainly this truth can help the winner believer clear the hurdles of undeserved suffering for blessing in time. Romans 8:18 also serves as a topic sentence for the following discussion on the relationship between believers and the whole creation, both in their suffering and in their future glory. So Romans 8:18 also serves as a topic sentence for the following discussion from Romans 8:19 to Romans 8:27. When that passage, Romans 8:19 to 27, we have sufferings of this present time. So this is a topic sentence for the following discussion on the relationship between believers and the whole creation, both in their suffering and in their future glory. All right. And that's in Romans 8, 19 to 30. I'll even give you an outline now. Hang on to it because this is verses 19 through 30, and hang on to it and check this out again and again. By the time we get some of this, you'll say, what outline? All right. Well, let's go Roman numeral 1. Romans 8, 19 to 27. That's Roman numeral 1. Sufferings of this present time. Sufferings of this present time. Romans 8, 19 to 27. Now, underneath this, it's an outline. See Roman numeral 1, now A. There are three categories of present sufferings, and they are all described as groans. Groans. Three groans. Three categories of present sufferings, and they're described as groans. A, Romans 8, 19 to 22. That's the groan of nature. The groan of nature. B, Romans 8, 23 to 25. That's the groan of the spiritually mature believer. The groan of the spiritually mature believer. C, Romans 8, 26 and 27. That's the groan of the Holy Spirit, God the Holy Spirit. So we have three groans in Romans 8, 19 to 27. We have the groan of nature, Romans 8, 19 to 22. The groan of the spiritually mature believer, Romans 8, 23 to 25. The groan of God the Holy Spirit, Romans 8, 26 and 27. And then, I have to go to the next page, but Roman numeral 2. Romans 8, 28 to 30. Romans 8, 28 to 30, we have the glory which is about to be revealed for us. The glory which is about to be revealed for us. A, Romans 8, 28. Romans 8, 28, a promise given to the spiritually mature believer. Romans 8, 28 is for winner believers. Promise given to winner believers. Promise given to the spiritually mature believer who makes those good decisions to live the spiritual life by the grace and power of God and attain spiritual maturity. You see, I've heard a lot of Christians say, all things work together for good. Then they stop. All things work together for good for those who love God. How many Christians love God? How many of them have virtue love brought to completion in their heart? Very few today. That refers to the winner believer. All things work together for good for those who love God, for those who have fulfilled the ultimate objective. Have virtue love brought to completion in their heart. Personal love for God the Father. Personal love for Jesus Christ. Occupation with Christ. As well as impersonal love for all. So this is a promise for the spiritually mature believer. And then B, Romans 8, 29 and 30. Romans 8, 29 and 30, then follows the glory which is about to be revealed for us. And it's presented in the five steps to glory. Five steps to glory. Romans 8, 29 and 30. By the way, this was Dr. Lewis Berry Chafer's favorite passage to teach in his classes and when he had teaching at chapel. This was his favorite to teach. So we will be studying it. And I can't tell you how much doctrine is just in that here and here. That's why I said maybe next year we'll get to Romans 9. All right, well, I need a break. We'll take a break. Come back in a few for part 2.